The night terrors had started a year ago. The doctors said he'd grow out of it, that it was hormonal and normal and nothing to be alarmed about. This is what they told his parents. The doctors never really talked to Michael. Night terrors. The name alone was enough to cause nightmares. But these weren't nightmares. Nightmares were bad. But Michael had never had a nightmare that left him sweaty and shivering at the same time. He'd never had a nightmare that made him scream so loud that his parents had to call 911. Nightmares were for children. They were the stuff of spooky closets and monsters under the bed. Michael's dreams were haunted by something far, far worse. The problem was, he couldn't remember what. He'd awake in a panic, and for a few seconds he would know. He could see it so clearly, it might as well have still been in the room with him. But try as he might, he couldn't hold on to it. It vanished. The fear was the only thing that stayed behind. He could feel it in his sweat-soaked sheets. He tasted it in his mouth, which had gone dry from the screaming. But he couldn't give it a name. In the sleepless, dead hours of the night, he was thankful that his mom and dad had stopped barging into his room every time it happened. The terrors were bad enough without Michael having to feel guilty about waking the entire house. Of course, they were probably awake anyway. No one could sleep through that kind of screaming. But the doctors had advised them to stop drawing attention to the problem. The doctors couldn't make the terrors go away, but they could lessen the embarrassment a little at least. Tonight, as on so many nights, Michael found himself sitting upright in bed, trying to quiet the sound of his own wildly thumping heart. This time he'd awoken pressed up against the headboard as if he could climb it to safety. It was always something like that. Sometimes he woke up on the floor. Sometimes he'd made it as far as the bedroom door. But he always seemed to be trying to get away from the outside, away from the windows. The source of his fear lay beyond the walls of his house. The doctors made a point of correcting him when he said things like that. They reminded him that the source of his terror was his own subconscious, an unfortunate combination of teenage anxiety and a flood of hormones. The doors and windows were just objects that his subconscious had fixated on. If only the doctors would explain that to his subconscious. It didn't happen every night, but when it did, Michael would sit awake in the dark, alone, until dawn. He actually felt safer with the lights off. Flip on a light in a dark room at night, and the window becomes a two-way mirror. You can't see out, but anyone or anything can see in. And it was an especially clear night tonight. The moon hung a half circle above the branches of the oak outside his bedroom. It was an old tree, old enough to reach up three stories to his window. When he was younger, he used to fantasize about leaping out and climbing the tree to freedom. He'd loved the oak, the open sky beyond, even the dark peak of Mount Noble looming in the distance. For him as a kid, the window had been a part of his recurring dream of flight. And in that nighttime fantasy, he leapt from the tree and kept going straight up into the sky. Even today, he could almost feel the tickle of the leaves against his legs as he skimmed the treetops. But the window held no such fascination now. He stared at the branches and shivered. He always stood off to one side, out of sight. It wouldn't do to stand in full view of the yard beyond. Not at night. Not ever at night. His room was stifling, and the humid air clung to his skin like a wet sweater. Despite Pennsylvania's midsummer swelter, Michael always slept with the window shut. His parents had agreed to run the air conditioner for him. But it was a week-old contraption that never managed to cool the upstairs rooms. He longed to throw open the window and let the mountain breeze in. He wanted to smell something other than his own sour sweat. What was he afraid of? What did he think was out there? Asking that question was like chasing a name on the tip of his tongue. But he was closing in on it, just a little farther. His hands pressed flat against the window pane without his say-so. It felt good, this sort of numb distance that he was suddenly experiencing. So much better than the cord of fear that had twisted in his gut for so long. With just a little effort, he clicked the locks open. First one, then the other. A wind blew through the oak's branches outside, their tips brushing the window. It had the unnerving effect of sounding like someone tapping on the pane. The fear started to creep back into his stomach.